10% of taxable wages will be eaten up by Social Security, with no governmental plan yet developed to fill that gap. Wahlhaus, who spoke today at the University of Illinois' Urbana campus, says the fiscal consequences of aging will threaten the next couple of generations, and says denying it is a dereliction of public duty.
And it's precisely because this conduct is occurring in places where we're not really accustomed to seeing it that, in my view, undue credence has been lent to some of the less responsible statements that have been made. The danger of this is not only providing cover for politicians to duck tough issues, but I believe the damage extends to our shared factual understanding of fiscal reality itself.
Wahlhaus's Social Security trustees have tended to overstate the program's future, the financial health, for years, and now actually prove that action should have been taken long ago. The American Civil Liberties Union says death row inmates at the federal prison in Terre Haute are routinely denied access to basic medical, dental, and mental health care. In a letter to the director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons in Washington, the ACLU says an investigation uncovered grossly inadequate conditions that fail to meet constitutional standards and jeopardize the health and safety of the more than 50 inmates awaiting execution. ACLU attorney Gabriel Eber says his investigation included interviews with prisoners and a review of hundreds of pages of prison records. Bureau of Prisons spokeswoman Felicia Ponce says she can't comment on the letter or the accusations. She says she's not sure whether the letter has reached editor director Harley Lappin. The letter also said inmates are subjected to intense noise that results in sleep deprivation and, quote, significant psychological distress. Urbana city officials think downtown is ripe for growth, and they want to make sure cars have a place to park when that growth happens. City leaders have the results of a study on parking after concerns that high-demand areas of downtown have relatively few parking places. They released that study at a public presentation this afternoon. Patrick Paletti of the city's Public Works Department says Urbana's problems with parking aren't much different than from Champaign or many other cities its size. Available spaces aren't necessarily close to where people want to park.
That core area of downtown where we need short-term customer spaces, where we're a little lax. And the periphery, Lincoln Square showed a surplus, and the lots around Lincoln Square, as well as a couple of lots on the north side of downtown.
Pilletti says the study recommends more angle parking instead of parallel parking, signage changes, and a bit more leniency for parking violators as long as they're not repeat offenders. He says it also estimates the cost of a new parking deck at $9 million, something Urbana may not be able to afford for a while. Governor Rob Blagojevich introduced a plan today to allow Illinois toll road motorists who carpool or drive hybrids to use designated express lanes. Blagojevich says 80 miles of such lanes would be located along the busiest stretches of the tollways with the goal of reducing congestion, braking, and acceleration, thereby cutting emissions. If approved by the Illinois State Toll Highway Authority, the lanes to be carved from existing lanes could be in place by 2010. Solo drivers would be allowed to use the express lanes, but would be charged a yet-to-be-disclosed premium rate above the existing cost of a toll. The express lane plan is part of a $1.8 billion package that also includes construction of new interchanges. It's 4:33.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Radio Maria Restaurant in downtown Champaign. Radio Maria serves dinner and tapas every evening, lunch on Fridays and Saturdays from 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., and a Sunday brunch. More information is available at RadioMariaRestaurant.com.
Now here's Mike Solo with weather.
Thank you, Jeff. It's 70 degrees on Friends Plaza. We've had plenty of cloud cover and some rain here. We picked up almost a half inch of rain at the WILL studios, and there's still some persistent showers that are stretching across generally southeastern Illinois. The precipitation across west central and in through the central portion of the state and in through northeastern Illinois, a little more broken up, but there are some pockets of moderate rainfall, and one of those pockets is right now stretching from central Christian County through around the Decatur area. And it looks to be headed towards Champaign, Urbana, or areas just south. So areas from, say around the Clinton, Farmer City areas to the west, just a few scattered showers will remain. But areas to the south and east of a line from St. Louis to Decatur, we'll still see some pockets of heavy rain. And a few rumbles of thunder are also possible right now. The latest lightning detection indicating a couple cells just to the east of Effingham and pushing up into the southeastern corner of Coles County that are not only producing some pockets of very heavy rain, but also a little bit of thunder and lightning. The severe thunderstorm warning that had been issued for a portion of northern Indiana has been canceled as the severe thunderstorm has weakened and moved out of the area. But the forecast does still hold a promise for some scattered showers for a good portion of the two-state area, the only locations not expecting any more rain. Northwestern Illinois. Lows tonight will range from 37 in far northwestern Illinois to 57 in the south. And tomorrow in the far south, mostly cloudy with some lingering showers. Elsewhere, a mix of clouds and sunshine. And highs, they will be cooler from 57 in far northwestern Illinois to 67 in the south. It's 70 degrees on Friends Plaza. I'm Mike Sola.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Tonight, millions of people will watch the final presidential debate, at least those who can drag themselves away from the finale of the TV show Project Runway. Television is how most voters experience elections these days. But in 1952, TV had not yet come into its own, and politicians were grappling with how to use the medium effectively. Democratic presidential nominee Adlai Stevenson was an old-fashioned intellectual who believed